can really probably address that far better than I can.
A lot of the questions that you're talking about are the things that I think will fill in as the technology matures and the need is expressed to do what you're asking about. There are a lot of the basic fundamental pieces of this that we could get done, in my opinion, without you having to add a lot of infrastructure. We're working with customers, and when I say customers, I mean people that come to Kentucky and buy feeder calves out of our systems, that the feed yard uses our web-based system to go in there and take pin 25 that was bought under this order buyer number and establish a group in their feed yard and assign that into the data management system. They never can have those numbers internal to their system at all, and they can use our system to report the retirement of that group of cattle when they move them into the feed yard, and they really didn't have to download, upload, export any information at all. So I mean, we're all concerned about those things. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of discussion out there relative to the auction barns when you talk about reportable events. Are we going to report them into the place and out of the place? Does that mean we have to read the tag twice? I don't think it does. You know, just because you have to report something, if you've got a system in place to document that event, why do you need to read that time every time you've got to read that tag every time you've got to record a piece of data? There's a lot of this that can be tremendously simpler than the perception that's out there right now. And what has gotten us to the point of understanding that is having to do this on a daily basis. When you've got to move thousands of units of data, like we're in a position of doing right now on a daily basis, you find ways to do it without paying a lot of people and buying a lot of equipment. Because there's no way that you can load the cost of incrementally moving every piece of data on the industry. It just won't work.
Well, we're shipping about 1,500 head a day, generally, to packers. And under Rick's example, you would have to verify that all the individuals that were in the lot made it on the truck, wouldn't you? I mean, we're still going to have to read them on the truck to verify that all the animals made it.
The concept being is that if you're sorting a pen and you're gate sorting the animals, and you've got all those animals individually identified, and you've still got, 50 animals in that pen, you don't know which animals left. You may be another 2 weeks before the rest of the 50 animals leave. And so, conceptually, you'd have to record those. Now, how you record them and what you do, Jim's working with systems that the animals walk through and record their numbers. I mean, that's as simple as that, and that file is automatically uploaded into whatever database that you're doing. So it doesn't have to entail a lot of labor or a lot of effort, anything extra in the process. It's an issue of technology, and as Jim said,
and I'm not going to speak for them and what they do, but in our situation, part of the conditional trade on that, those cattle going to the plant, may be that you're going to read them. They're going to read them on the other end and provide that report. You know, if they're going to read those animals individually anyway for an internal system, read them and report them for me. That's part of our trade. That's what we do all the time.
One of the challenges we've had through this system has been trying to figure out how all of this is going to go at the speed of commerce. And you talk about 1,500 heads for a feed yard. But in some auction situations, you're talking about 10,000 to 12,000 in a day. So there's some very important things there that need to be addressed as far as infrastructure and getting that going. But let's keep moving. We're going to run out of time. Yes, ma'am?
Kathy Bandick, and I do technical support for Quality Liquid Feeds, so I do business in 30-some states. And first, the one comment you made about the small producers, I think, reflects the regional differences we've got to work with. Because in lots of the country, the guy with 20 cows may be one of the best managers I do work with. And it's just the way the industry is structured, so we have different sorts of people to work with. But sort of my question was more a clarification. When you put in here on where we have to record movement events, the only ones you listed were commingling, moving across state lines, and changing ownership. And I guess my understanding to this point is anytime animals went to a different premise ID, that had to be recorded. And if that's the case, for a lot of people, that maybe is the defining factor in whether they want multiple premises or one, because they may not want to record every time they move their animals everywhere. And you know, that list you put up is the same list that always goes everywhere.
Sure.
And I think that needs to be clarified, that if we do indeed need to record every ID change, every premise ID change, that's a lot more information to deal with.
If I'm right here. One of the important things as we work through this is to start to get an understanding of how our system actually works today. We need to understand that USDA has some real challenges when they start dictating the recording of animal movements intrastate within the state, because that's state's authority. That's a state's rights issue. That's a Civil War kind issue. So it's important we have an understanding of that. When we talk about interstate movement or interstate commerce, you can be interstate and still be within the state. If you go to an auction market where something could conceivably go into interstate commerce, it's deemed to be an interstate commerce. So, and of course, anytime you would leave the state, you're in interstate commerce. So there's some important things there that we need to understand. In various states, Nebraska and South Dakota particularly, that are split brand states, where you've got brand on the western half and you don't on the eastern half, complicate that yet again. So that's another one of those problems we really have to work through, and really have to work closely with both USDA, APHIS, and our state veterinarians and our brand committees, in work through all those processes.
And that's one of our goals of our prior project, is to address that very issue of when is it critically important, and how accurate and how fast can you trace back. Our state veterinarian in Idaho has said that I recognize that, you know, a guy may have five different places and they all may be 50 miles apart, but they're all within my state. Am I going to require him to have, you know, five different premise numbers? His answer is no, because I recognize the fact that if I have a problem, I'm going to go to that producer anyway. I'm going to call him up. I'm going to be sitting at his kitchen table, and I'm going to find out where those animals were. Why burden the system with recording movements and something that he controls, and those animals, you know, don't get commingled with anybody else's?
Yes, sir. Todd Fleming from Baraboo, Wisconsin. And my question is directed toward Rick. I fortunately had the opportunity to sit on the USAIP processors and marketing working group, and the recommendation that came out of that group was to not endorse group lot ID for cattle. And I was wondering, when you brought that forth, how are your auction markets participating in your program are handling the group lot identifications when they're sorting and things that go on?
Clearly, when you're sorting and commingling, it doesn't work. And so what we're talking about is a very defined set of circumstances where you've got a bigger auction, for example, and we're buying 150 animals off of a ranch, and the auction market becomes a facilitator for sale only. They never really handle them. Or an auction market that takes those 150 animals physically, and they get sold as 150 animals. Jim is really addressing in his project what the individual commingling, auction markets, consolidations, all of those kind of issues that are being addressed. I think the objective, and as we approached it with USDA, is that rather than just summarily dismissing the group lot as an unacceptable method of identification, let's look at the applicability, of potential applicability, and find ways that it can be used so that it mirrors what the market is doing. Because a large number of producers in the Northwest, anyway, sell those animals as a group. They stay as a group, and they move as a group. And they don't move as individuals. And so why summarily dismiss that concept? Because 80% of the cattle in the United States get commingled? Clearly. But what about the other 20%? Should we burden those 20% if we can possibly make it a feasible way of identification?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Dallas Horton, Colorado. This mandatory versus voluntary. I'd like to suggest we do a little paradigm shift. I don't want to see us go along here to the government and finally says, okay, this year it's going to be mandatory. I would like to suggest that the task force and NCBA be the one, our industry should be the one that decides when we're going to make it mandatory, not let the government do it. And I'm not here to suggest when that is. We need time to work out the details. But I do think if we leave it to the market, when the market finally dictates it, it's going to be a long time. And I think, if I understand right, it's sad today that we're the only major nation, cattle producing nation, that does not have ID. New Zealand, Australia, Europe, Canada, South America, most of the countries and stuff, they got it. We're the only major one left that doesn't have it. And assuming we get global market back one of these days, we're the only one that doesn't have an ID system. So I would suggest, let's move it up, let's get it done right, but let's make our industry decide when it's going to get mandatory, not just sit here and the government says, well, next year it's going to be mandatory. And I think we need to move along. We know someday somebody's going to have to say it's mandatory. So we need it voluntary, because we all have to participate when it happens. If we leave it voluntary, it isn't ever going to happen. So then we know it's going to be mandatory. Let's make sure we're the ones that decide. And I think we need to move along a little faster than maybe some of us really want it to happen.
Sounds like a policy question to me, Alan.
You're just getting even, Rick.
Yeah.
You know, we've had that a lot of discussion, and Dallas, I appreciate your remarks. One of the things that we need to understand that differentiates the United States from a lot of those other countries is that we as an organization and we as an industry have long said, let's do things based on sound science. And we've built systems within this country that have made literally our food supply the safest in the world. And we've done that through things like DQA. We've done it through things like consultations with our veterinarians. We've done it through training programs through our extension agents and our universities. We've done it through things like Cattlemen's College. We've done a huge amount of things in this industry that has made our food supply safe because of all of the things that we do. Animal identification is a vital part of a vibrant system, and I think we recognize that. And I think as we move towards that, through a market system, through a disease surveillance system, and if you look at some of the players out there that are pushing on the industry very hard right now and saying, you know, we really need source verification, so all they're really saying is what we really need is process verification. There's a lot of issues that we have to face, and how exactly it becomes mandatory, whether it becomes mandatory as a function of the market to do business, whether it becomes mandatory because AFA says it's mandatory, or whether it becomes mandatory because we as an industry and we as an organization stand up and say, this drop-dead date's mandatory. Those things need to be determined. And I would point out, as we go through the next couple of days and we go through our committee meetings, that's what this process is all about. Got time for about one more question.
Wait, one comment with that. I was in Washington, D.C. last week and talked with a lot of staff members and congressmen about the animal ID issue. And one of the things that's become clearly evident is that there's an impasse at the USDA on how this data management is going to happen at a national level. And there's a couple of concepts. One is that the state veterinarians think that they want to have their own databases. Coming from a system background on an international level, that will not work to accomplish the 48 hour triage spec. The having USDA hold that data, they think that they can get the FOIA Act resolved. That's in big dispute, and nobody believes that. If you look at other models in the world, as well as other industries, you look at how, for example, the website domains are managed. It's managed out of a nonprofit entity that's issuing domains to people and managing that infrastructure. You look at UPC codes and barcodes. It's managed out of a nonprofit entity that's driven by the industry and funded by the industry and then issued. You look at Australia. They have... In Australia, they have 12 million cattle registered in Australia. They have 1.5 people managing the entire database. They have 6 people in the entire animal ID program managing that. Do we want our federal government? USDA has not had a great track record on data management and information and reporting. Do we want to have individual separate companies who are looking for a profit manage this database? I don't think so. Why would the cattlemen want to pay margin and profit to a company to manage something that should be a national, regional, identifiable non-profit kind of entity. I think that's one of the issues that needs to be addressed in concert with what Dallas is saying.
Very good.
My name is Dave Sampson. I'm from Louisiana. Monday afternoon, I was driving across the southern part of the state, and an ad came on a country station out of Lake Charles discussing animal identification that's paid for by the USDA. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I would suggest that means the USDA is going to move fairly quick if we do not.
From my conversations last week with a couple of congressmen, I think Congress will move faster than USDA will, or they'll try to anyway. There are some congressmen that are going to propose some acceleration of the animal ID system.
Hey, very good. Folks, we're out of time. We appreciate your coming. We appreciate Pfizer sponsoring this and our speakers, Rick and Jim.